Good morning. It is an open phone Thursday. Mikey J, Colin Letty across the console. We're talking about anything and everything. We were talking about basically the Putin administration, his entire government cabinet has resigned, I guess. But there's a story behind the story, right? They had to resign because otherwise
they couldn't do this governmental restructure.
Yeah.
That they had
planned. And they needed to do the governmental restructure so Putin can remain king, right?
So here's the overview of what I've gathered from what's going on. So Vladimir Putin, he's the president. A lot of people are thinking that he's going to try to change the rules so he could be the dictator forever and be the president forever.
Right.
Well,
his
term is up in 2024. So he has come out and said, I'm not going to be president after 2024. But what they're doing right now
they're going to give the additional power to...
Yeah, to the prime minister. So right now, every single person, every high-ranking member of the government has resigned their position. And in their stead, Vladimir Putin is there alone. So he is going to restructure the Constitution and these certain constitutional things to give the prime minister a lot more power, pretty much more power than the president.
Which means
he's going to find a way to put himself in the prime minister seat and then...
In 2025.
Yeah, after 2024, once his presidential run is up, and then he would still be the guy calling all the shots. Even though he's not the president anymore. That's the way it looks to the rest of the world. That's what a lot of big news agencies that have looked at this, they're definitely doing something. They found a loophole in their constitution, essentially. And if everybody quits their job and there's only one person in the government, that one person is the government and gets to do all the work.
So they're probably going to be back within a week.
Yeah. It was pretty much just a formality. No one freaked out about it. Nothing stopped running in Russia because of it. It was basically, this is the only legal way we can do this. So we're all going to resign. You change the rules. We'll all get our jobs back. And then in 2024,
that's right.
Things are all changed around.
We have a constitution, but we're basically going to modify that constitution so that I, Vladimir Putin, can be your leader, not necessarily your president, but your leader for life. And that's the way it's going to be.
He's Putin himself in charge.
Yes.
That's what it's
I think I smell a hashtag coming.
Yeah. Anyway, it is, it's been a strange week. We had the standoff, the shooting, the fire, and then we had Mike Johnstone, who has been very vocal about... Mike has been very vocal about mental health, the terrible situation about mental health care in the state of Iowa, since Governor Branstad, basically what he did is he closed two of the major facilities, the one in Mount Pleasant, the one in Clarinda. He closed both of them and said, we're going to be eliminating those facilities. We are instead going to use community-based mental health care. The problem was there wasn't enough space. I think even Graver Medical Center said, "Hey, look, we don't have room for that."
Yeah, you know what community-based care means?
It means
take care of it, community. We're not doing it.
It's passing it on.
Responsibility.
Yeah. And the reality is, so you've got people that have serious mental illness. That are not getting any help, that are not getting any treatment. You've got people that have drug and alcohol addictions that are not getting any treatment, or very little. And the most serious of the mental health issues, the only place you can do, there are some facilities, but they're hundreds of miles away. And they, Mike Johnstone was saying that, hey, There are times we have to have a deputy and a security agent or a security officer go with a mentally ill patient to transport them to Sioux City or farther away basically like driving to Minneapolis and back.
Yeah,
and so we're taking personnel out of you know we're we're using these funds, and they're not getting, it's not, and they're, what does their family do? What is the, can their family go? Well, yeah, the family has to go all the way to there to see him too. It's a deplorable situation. He was very blunt. He's been very blunt on the talk show about it too.
Yes, extremely.
He said that, look, this is, we could have told you this was going to happen, or something like this was going to happen. The guy that there was a case of a when a guy killed his mother, a mentally ill man killed his mother with a guitar, mm-hmm. beat her to death with a guitar. And, you know, if you don't have any services, mental health services to fill that gap, that's what's going to happen. And the reality is, the mental health system in America, or the mental health basically in America, but especially here in Iowa, it's simply not there.
Yeah, and if you want to, you know, ever since the state has made that decision to close down those mental health facilities, they essentially said it was because we don't have enough money, right? We didn't have the funding for it. What has Iowa done to raise more money to try to open these facilities back up, or to do anything?
They did nothing.
They've done nothing. They don't care. Our state government does not care about these people. They only care that was a red mark on their budget, and they cut it out, and they're not going to care anymore. But the minute we start raising some more money and we have a little bit of a surplus in this state, I feel like that's where the people of Iowa will be pointing at that money, saying this is the major problem. And this is kind of leading me into what's going on across the river here, when they've raised $20 million in 2 weeks. Just selling marijuana. It's a huge tax on this stuff. Many of the people in Iowa are going over there.
Yes.
So it's just taking money out of our pockets here in Iowa and giving it to Illinois to solve their problems. Why aren't we using Iowa money to solve Iowa problems? You know, it seems so stupid that we don't have enough money to take care of the people in this state.
They are basically, what they're saying is, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
100%.
Just saying we don't want this problem. It's not ours. Yeah. It's your problem.
Mentally ill people. Well, okay. I guess they better. Hopefully, they find some help from somebody. But they're not going to get any help from us because there really isn't. And the only and if you're in law enforcement, the only option you have is to take them to jail. And that jail's not going to do any good. I mean, that's the. But anyway, when Mike said we saw this coming. He also was on, he said, we saw that coming. We saw the other situation happen. So how many more do we have to see coming before something's done? And I don't know if there's anything that is going to be done. My guess is not.
Probably not.
It's been swept under that rug, that big rug of all those things we don't want to deal with, so we just don't deal with it.
The reason they don't want to deal with it is, like you said, they don't want to pay for it.
That is exactly what they don't want to do, and that's tragic. It's sad, and
it's sad that people's welfare is being placed underneath the importance of money, because that should never be the case. But
it is the case.
It's the reality.
It is the case. It's the reality, and it's the way things work. Go to California. What's the biggest problem that they're facing in California, other than the fact that everything is housing is outrageously priced? But outrageously priced means you've got, because of that, and because you've got a fairly mild climate in general on the Pacific, you've got a homeless problem that is absolutely gone berserk. It is absolutely gone berserk.
You look at street photos of L.A., there's homeless camps on every street.
Go to San Francisco and see the situation in San Francisco. It's berserk.
Yeah, in San Francisco, one of the most popular apps in the city is an app that shows you where to avoid human feces on the ground.
Yeah, because people are defecating in the streets.
Yeah. It's squalor. There is a giant chunk of a lot of these West Coast towns, specifically in California, because California... Number one, it's good weather all year round.
Yeah.
So I mean, homeless people flock there. A lot of the homeless folks are people. You know, some of them are people went out there to Hollywood with dreams that they were going to be a movie star.
Yeah.
It didn't work out, and then they just fell into a life and don't have a way to get back out. There's no resources that are really helping these people. And a lot of the stuff that they're doing is just kind of moving them around or getting out of sight, out of mind sort of thing. And it's just getting progressively worse. It's getting bad.
Well, I told a story on the air back, believe it or not, 1983. I was in San Francisco at a convention, and we were at the Westin St. Francis. And the Westin St. Francis is a very well-to-do, sort of exclusive hotel. And it was convention because on that strip, it's this great big grassy area in front of the hotel, and around it are all of the highest priced Neiman Marcus, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, Tiffany's, you name it. If it's an exclusive store, and in front of that, wall to wall people with hands out, with hats out, with signs out that haven't eaten in 7 days or something like that. You cannot walk down the street. You literally bump the entire loop around there filled with people. That was 1983, and it's worse now. It's like three or four times, maybe 10 times worse now, because it's everywhere in San Francisco. It's not just the panhandlers on the street. You go to Chicago, walk down Michigan Avenue, see how many times people are going to tap you on the shoulder, ask for money. It's the way it is.
Yeah. And I mean, you're never going to be able to get rid of homelessness 100%. There's some people that they just decide they want to live that life, and they do. They want to be a vagrant, or they want to travel around.
So what do you do? What do you do with that? Is that another problem we just forget about?
I think you provide these folks with as much as you can, give them mental health that they need. Many of these people on the streets are...
That is exactly right. That's what I'm getting at.
They can't get into society because of the mental health. Give them an easy way to get a place to live, especially out in California. And some of these places, it's 8 times what it is here to get an apartment. So that homeless guy is going to have to make $5,000 to get an apartment. How is he going to do that?
He's going to make $5,000 a month.
Yeah. he's not going to get that a quarter at a time from people walking on the street. We need to be giving them resources to allow them to get out of this hole that they've got themselves in. But it's also a little bit of common sense. Hey, maybe you can't afford to live in California. We need to instill, we need to share this problem. We can't just say, California, you need to fix this. I think if there's a concentrated area of homeless people in San Francisco, California, or something, way more than other states, I think that, I guess our government should be trying to help take care of this. If we could get some of these people and spread it out into other parts of the country, that it might get more done for these people. I mean, I know that many states are going to say, why should we take care of this California problem?
Well,
but it's
problem
not a California
it,
problem. It's an America problem.
It's an America problem. And in California, it's led to, you talked about feces on the street, but it's also led to crime, because the only place, frankly, if there's no, if the handouts aren't there, the only way you're going to get money is
stealing it.
Right. And so you've got that going on. People breaking into cars, breaking into things. I mean, the security area, think about it. You got really, your neighborhoods,
And that's rise to another issue is some ways, one of the only ways some of these people can make money is selling drugs.
Yeah.
That's why part of the reason why the drug problem in America is so bad, as bad as it is right now. Because for some people, that's the only way they can make money.
Yeah. What do we got? What boils down to is we got mental health issues and poverty issues, and we've got homeless issues. Sort of all of them tied to drug issues. They're kind of all wrapped
into
this. They're all rolled into
crime.
A circle, aren't they?
Yeah, these are social problems, and there's not anything. There's no structure to deal with.
And
there's no funding and no approach and no answer, no plan to do anything.
Yeah,
and no desire to do anything about it in the immediate.
Just ignore
from anyone.
And I think California's going to have to, because it's become such a tremendous problem in California.
Well, part of this is we're starting to see the byproducts of capitalism. I love capitalism. I don't want anyone out there thinking I'm a communist or socialist. I love capitalism. But we have to start realizing that if we run our society like a competition, which is essentially what capitalism is, who's the best, who can give me the best thing for the cheapest, who can make the most money, okay, some people are going to end up falling by the wayside. In any competition, there's winners and there's losers.
You are judged by how you deal with the least of you. I'm not going to be quoting biblical passages, but that's really what we're talking about here. How do we deal with the least among us, those who have the least, and those who are struggling and need help? And especially, do we just ignore? Do we do what Iowa's done? Oh, well, we just pretend they don't exist?
Well, until we completely revamp our medical system, this is going to be a problem. Okay? If these homeless folks can't go get a mental health check, if they can't go get a normal, you know, an injury checked out, if they can't go find a place to sleep for the night, it's just going to lead to more and more problems. But I don't know.
It's a terrible problem that we don't have an answer to, and it's like so many other things. As long as you don't think about it, pretend it doesn't exist, or just simply ignore. We ignore rather than deal with it. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a break for news, 754-1490. We will be back, and we'll talk about more things. Whatever's on your mind, you want to jump in on this conversation or some other, that's fine. We'll have some other things to spur conversation coming up.
What is the grind? It's a 5-month marathon. It's working to be better every day. It's what gets a team all the way to March and then says, we're not done.
Iowa hosts Michigan Friday night with pregame at 7. Brought to you by K-Spine Community Credit Union, the Boogaloo and Fun City at Pizzazz, Barn Grover Glass, and by Courtesy Door on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
You've tackled to-do lists all year long, and it's only January. So treat yourself and your skin to some well-deserved R&R. Come to Ulta Beauty's Love Your Skin event and discover 50% off daily beauty steals from must-have brands like Mario Badescu, Dermalogica, and Clinique. And for a little extra skin love, talk to one of our licensed skin experts for a customized facial and skincare recommendations. Skincare equals self-care at Ulta Beauty's Love Your Skin event, now through January 25th. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful.
The new year is here, and I found the perfect way to shake up our shopping routine. It's Walmart's grocery pickup and delivery.
Oh, yeah?
We get the same prices as in-store, but at Walmart, they do the shopping for you.
So it's like a shopping shortcut.
A fairy grocery mother who just shops her grocery list so hard.
A secret sauce that makes running errands a cakewalk.
A life hack that hacks your life to get more life out of life.
Nice.
Use code WOWFRESH and get $10 off your first grocery pickup or delivery today. Walmart. Save money. Live better. Delivery fee applies. Delivery available in select markets. First order only. $50 minimum. Expires March 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply.
I'm Elizabeth Warren. I'm running for president, and I approve this message because I want you to know that I'm not afraid to stand up to billionaires and corrupt politicians. In fact, I've been doing it for years. After Wall Street crashed our economy in 2008, I went to Washington and confronted the broken system head on. I worked with President Obama to create the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, America's first consumer watchdog to hold the big banks accountable. And when Republican senators tried to sabotage the reforms we made, I ran against one of them, and I beat it. I'm in this fight for a democracy that works for everyone. That's why I'm running for president.
Learn more about why Elizabeth is running for president at ElizabethWarren.com or text Iowa to 24477. To consent to receive periodic campaign updates from Warren for President, text HELP for help, stop to end. Message and data rates may apply. ElizabethWarren.com/privacy policy. Paid for by Warren for President.
I'm Dr. A.J. Friesen, an orthopedic surgeon at Great River Medical Center. Stay safe with these winter tips. When walking on snow and ice, slowly shuffle your feet. Wear warm shoes or boots with good traction. Carry items in a backpack to keep your arms free for balance. And don't use your cell phone or drink beverages while walking. Some slips and falls can't be prevented. Orthopedic specialists at Great River Medical Center can help. See me and my colleagues at greatriverortho.com.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. A Burlington man was detained and subsequently arrested by Warren County Sheriff's deputies Tuesday after being located at a machine shed near Swan Creek south of Monmouth in Warren County. A report of a suspicious vehicle near the shed resulted in the arrest of 39-year-old Tom Harmon of Burlington after investigation indicated Harmon was suspected of committing burglaries throughout the local area. Items believed to have been stolen were recovered, but the assessment of the total value has not been completed. Harmon is being held at the Warren County Jail charged with burglary and possession of burglary tools with a bond set at $20,000. Investigation into the matter is continuing. A man charged with animal neglect after a rescue group removed nearly 200 cats from his central Iowa property is scheduled to be sentenced February 20th. Polk County court records say 66-year-old Dennis Carlson entered a written Alford plea of guilty January 9th on one count of animal neglect, death, or serious injury. In an Alford plea, a person doesn't admit guilt but acknowledges there is enough evidence to convict. The cats and nearly 200 cat carcasses were discovered last spring in several buildings at the property, which sits a little more than a mile southeast of Madrid. Advocates for and against abortion cases in Iowa have a lot to say after Governor Kim Reynolds proposed during her Condition of the State address a constitutional amendment that would make it clear no one has a right to an abortion in the state. Getting a new amendment added to the state constitution can be a long process as it includes approval by a majority lawmakers in two successive legislative sessions. From there up, it's up to voters to approve the amendment. Efforts to restrict access to abortion have failed in the past in Iowa. In 2018, Reynolds signed into law legislation that sought to ban abortion in cases where a fetal heartbeat could be detected. A judge, however, struck the law down, saying it was unconstitutional. The American Civil Liberties Union is one of the organizations responsible for bringing the recent fetal heartbeat law into court. Veronica Fowler, communications director for the organization, said, "Even if Reynolds' latest effort succeeds at the state level, it won't be implemented." In a statement, Governor Reynolds said she is, quote, "proud to be pro-life." And those are today's headlines in the KBUR Newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
I'm Lillian Wu. The president's impeachment trial enters a new phase.
It was anything but solemn and bipartisan.
Counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, a day after articles of impeachment are signed by the House Speaker today, senators set to be sworn in.
At noon, House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving will walk the seven impeachment managers over to the Senate chamber. Then at 2 p.m., Chief Justice of the U.S. John Roberts will be sworn in. He will then swear in the U.S. senators. Substance of the trial expected to start Tuesday.
Fox's Mike Emanuel. We're learning that government watchdog agency, the GAO, has concluded in a new report the White House Budget Office violated the law when it froze U.S. military aid to Ukraine, which meanwhile has opened a probe into possible surveillance of the U.S. ambassador recalled from her post in May. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
A winter storm watch is in fact noon Friday to Saturday night, 6 p.m. Sunny today, a high of 22 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low down to 14. Look for snow developing Friday, mainly after 7 a.m., a high to 31. 1 to 3 inches of snow possible. And blustery winds, snow, freezing rain, sleet, patchy blowing snow Friday night, a low down to 28. An additional inch or two of snow possible. Right now, we've got skies that are sunny. It's 8 degrees, wind chill at 5 below.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks at record highs on Wall Street this morning on some strong economic data and strong quarterly results from Morgan Stanley. Its shares are up 6%. The Dow at a record high, up more than half a percent. Up 170 points, 29,200. The NASDAQ is up 0.7%, up 66 points. And the S&P above 3,300, it's up a half a percent, up 18 points. Fewer people applied for unemployment benefits last week than expected. And December retail sales ticked slightly higher over last year, 0.3%. That was as expected. It was not a blowout month for retailers. Payless Shoe Source has emerged from bankruptcy for the second time. It will focus on international markets. The company's based in Topeka, Kansas, but it does a lot of business in Latin America. It's going to revamp its U.S. website. CNBC.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
We've been busy all throughout December, creating a day for your day to remember. An event of events thrown just for you.
Perfect.
To help plan your special day the way you want to. With vendors and venues vying for your attention, there's dresses and caterers and floors galore, jewelry, photography, halls, barns, and more.
It's the Bridal and Event Expo, January 26th, 11 to 3 at the Pizzazz Convention and Event Center. Brought to you by Pritchard Broadcasting. Featuring vendors at the top of their field, including Praise Him Entertainment and Barn on the Ridge.
When there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain in effect.
On air and online.
I always know it can be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back on the talk show today. Mikey J, Colin Letty, Steve Hexum joining you. We're talking about things that are, I don't know whether we could call it, we could call the theme today, things that are impossible to fix.
Yeah.
Or things,
yeah,
things that nobody wants to touch.
Things we don't have the answers to.
That we don't have the answers to. We don't have the answers to health. We don't have the answers to health care costs. We don't have the answers to mental health.
I think we do have the answers. I just don't think that we're brave enough to take the step to do it. You know?
All right, wait. Okay, well, you talked about one of the things you were saying that, and I think everybody makes everybody real nervous. Oh, Canadian single-payer plan versus what we have in this country. And I've had a number, in fact, a number, basically, get the insurance companies out of controlling all of your health care, because that was the problem we had. The insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies working together to control,
yeah,
basically, and to make sure that you're always on the string.
Yeah, there shouldn't be, I should not have to have health insurance. I should be able to go to my doctor, pay the bill, and it should be a reasonable price. The whole, it's a giant scam, health insurance is. They've set us up to rely on these companies to take care of our medical bills.
It has jacked the price,
yeah,
up to outrageous things. So if you don't have, really extraordinary health insurance, you are going to be, you won't be able to afford it, or you'll just go bankrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
There are more, bankruptcy occurs more because of illness and people who have conditions than it does for any other reason. You know that, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad I've heard some people mention deductibles in the debate so far,
yeah,
this year. I think Bernie Sanders has said he wants to completely eliminate deductibles in his health care plan, which I'm 100% for. I think it's a scam. It's a giant scam.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. Good morning on the talk show today. Who do we have with us?
This is Dean. Okay. A little bit of history. Putin family killed the czar.
You always say this.
Dean,
you always say this. It's not true. It's not true.
Okay, we're not going to argue, but a friend told me this, and he researched it and found out in history, so I'm not going to argue with you.
Go to number two. Go to number two, yeah.
Number two, now you lost my thought. Oh, Christ. Basically, okay, about the weather. I don't know why people get all hyper scared about, like, we're going to have winter storm. I lived here all my life. I've been through winter storms where we had, like, 77, we had 50 inches of snow, and they had to get a four-wheel drive to be able to take me to work. I've been here when we had an ice storm where I had no power for 2 days. I was here when the windshield was 60 below zero. And basically, I don't know what the big hyper is about this on.
Dean, it's a very, very simple. It's very simple. We've got a 24-hour...
Like it's the end of the world.
Hey, Dean, that's what they do. That's because they want you to watch their television station or their network. And so when they talk about weather, they have to make it as either... It has to be a news story, which means it has to be the worst. Oh, we see. But the possibilities are for very severe or very, very bad condition. You know, Dean, it's the weather hasn't changed that much. It's just the fact the Weather Channel names these storms right now. Just
about everything.
It's Winter Storm Sylvia. Hey, Dean, appreciate that. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to let you go so we can get some other calls in here, okay?
All right. Bye.
All right. Thank you. All right. Okay, 754-1490. We did have a couple of other lines that were ringing if you did want to jump either. But I think really the fact is we have a vast disparity in the way that we operate in this country. We have, and Bernie, you were talking about the deductibles. When I started at KBUR, the insurance was basically, it was 100% free. There was no deductible whatsoever.
Yeah, and when did this deductible become a thing?
It became a thing as soon as we got once the insurance companies decided that they wanted to make more money, then the insurance companies became more and more and more powerful. And you also had and the fact is you had this desire. It was basically they desired to make more money, so they just simply charged more, and then that's how they did it. And then that's when you started getting copays. First off, then you went to copays, then you went to sharing your expenses. You paid a percentage of it. The station or the company paid a percentage. Anyway, we're taking calls today. 754-1490. What is on your mind? That person's not there. But that's what happened as the cost of malpractice insurance itself probably was one of the biggest contributors to that in itself. Once that started skyrocketing, the cost of malpractice insurance, then the cost of health care became that because the doctors, if you're paying an outrageous outrageous malpractice insurance bill, well, what do you need? You need to make more money, right, to be able to do it. And then so that increases the cost. All these things that didn't go into fixing your whatever you had or whatever, those things all. And then you had inflation. Then you had inflation that started to go escalating through the roof as well. So all of those things came together. Then we had the worst of all. Then we had the decision insurance companies will insure everybody. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, what's it cost to go to medical school to become a doctor?
It costs a lot. You're going to spend
I think the average is like $200K, something like that.
Yeah, it's about $200,000.
Minimum,
and then
I'd say about
$150K. You have to serve with a residency or an internship before
you
become a.
You got a residency. You've got to have an intern. You go from intern.
You spend a certain time on residency.
You do an internship, then you do the residency. You have to do that, I believe, is it 2 to 3 years, I believe.
2 to 3 years, and then you need certification.
I'm not a doctor. I was just wondering. And see, that's one thing that, you know, the cost of everything has gone up dramatically. Doctors have to repay these bills.
Right.
But it doesn't have to cost that much. The price of tuition has raised 500% since the 60s. So what it used to cost to be a doctor, you know, it compared to what you make in a year, to what it is now, it's way more expensive.
Well, I'm wondering also, you know, the quote-unquote, the technology that we've got is supposed to make it better, easier, make us safer, make us less sick, but it seems like it isn't really working because there are more sick people now than there used to be.
Well, I think the sick part of it is, at least in our country, is people aren't going to the doctor because it costs so much. And so these ailments that could be stopped at a minor ailment turn into a major ailment because people can't afford their deductible.
And, I think that's definitely part of it. And we have, and we also have, and we got a lot of people, and we got a lot of people that just simply don't take care of themselves either. They do all kinds of things to make themselves sick.
Well, you know, I was kind of wondering, you know, you've got a presidential candidate that's running that wants to give every single individual in the United States $1,000 a month.
That's a couple of them, isn't it?
The homeless and the people who are hooked on drugs and, you know, everything else. If that guy would ever get elected, which I doubt if he ever will. But, you know, the mindset that everything should be given to us, we shouldn't have to work for it, has got to change.
But
that's
absolutely
not the way I was brought up when I was born in the 50s, you know. My dad said, if you want to go out and work for it, don't expect somebody to give it to you.
I definitely respect that. But
entitlement society, I think.
On the other side of that coin, Jack, it's our money. The government, as much as we want to say that, oh, the government this, the government that, they should be able to tell us how they're spending the money, it is our money. And so we should be kind of, you know, interested in where it's going and how it's being spent. In this whole healthcare thing, I was talking to Steve off air. My deductible is more than 10% of my yearly income. Do you think that's fair? Should I have to pay that many $1,000s before my insurance company will put up anything?
Yeah, before you get one cent.
If you are sick, you can't work, so you don't have that money coming in to pay for that.
Yeah. So if I came up with cancer right now, it would bankrupt me for the next 25 years. I wouldn't be able to pay it off in my lifetime.
Okay, one last thing before I hang up. Do you remember studying in school about the impeachment of, was it Andrew Johnson and James Wilson Grimes?
Yes.
Who was up from his sick bed to cast the deciding vote? I think Iowa's going to have something to do with this next, not so much impeachment, but it's almost like a circus right now. More than anything else.
Yeah,
it definitely so, yes.
And they keep saying, oh, we found some more witnesses, we do this, and we do that. It's just like a dribble. Get it out, get it over with, and move on.
Well, what's interesting is that you've got four of the candidates who are running for president on the Democratic side who are going to be, frankly,
isolated.
They'll be off the campaign trail because they're going to have to be at this trial. And so they won't be able to be campaigning while they're in session in the Senate.
Now, which presidential candidate do you think this is going to benefit because of this?
I would think that, Bernie's not a senator, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Bernie would be there. Let's see, who else? Elizabeth Warren would
be
there, right?
Warren.
It would be also this senator from Minnesota that is... Amy, what's her?
Klobuchar.
She would be there. Who would not be? Joe Biden wouldn't be.
Buttigieg
would not be. And it's almost like, I know it's a conspiracy theory, that this is done to help him.
Yeah.
It's strange what they would schedule at this time of the year when they've had umpteen different months to do this, but right when they have the caucuses in Iowa, this is when they're doing this.
You know, it is an interesting
coincidence.
An interesting coincidence. Are you saying it's a conspiracy theory?
No, I'm just saying it's really a coincidence that this is all happening right now.
It does seem a bit convenient.
People are trying to run for president or are campaigning will be taken off the trail maybe for a month or longer.
Yeah. I mean, this is normal politics.
Yeah.
You remember the 2016 election, right?
Yeah.
It's strategy.
Oh, dirty, filthy, rotten politics.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all we got left nowadays.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Maybe somebody else will call.
Thanks, Jack. All right, Jack. We're going to take a break. 754-1490. What's on your mind?
I'm Michael Braskowski, the voice of Southeastern Community College Basketball, and join me every Friday for Live with Blackhawk Nation, sponsored by Standard of Beaverdale, as we talk with the coaches, athletes, and others for an insider's view of the SEC athletics program. Hear the latest news regarding the teams at SEC. You're live with Blackhawk Nation every Friday at 7:22 in the morning and 5:25 in the evening on 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, and at 7:56 a.m. and 5:56 p.m. on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
I'm Elizabeth Warren. I'm running for president, and I approve this message because I want you to know that I'm not afraid to stand up to billionaires and corrupt politicians. In fact, I've been doing it for years. After Wall Street crashed our economy in 2008, I went to Washington and confronted the broken system head on. I worked with President Obama to create the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, America's first consumer watchdog to hold the big banks accountable. And when Republican senators tried to sabotage the reforms we made, I ran against one of them, and I beat it. I'm in this fight for a democracy that works for everyone. That's why I'm running for president.
Learn more about why Elizabeth is running for president at ElizabethWarren.com or text Iowa to 24477. To consent to receive periodic campaign updates from Warren for President, text HELP for help, stop to end. Message and data rates may apply. ElizabethWarren.com/privacy policy. Paid for by Warren for President.
Finally, you can relax. The holidays are over. Take a moment to sit back, put your feet up, and giggle at the thought of everyone tearing into gifts. Now that the family is happy, you can treat yourself. Hi, this is Kay Sackville Brewer with the Greater Burlington Partnership. Grab your gift cards and cash from the holiday and splurge on a me day in Des Moines County. But where to start? The possibilities are endless. You can take in a movie, dine on a delicious homemade lunch at a local restaurant, enjoy some spa time, or even retail therapy. Think of all the places and people you can support in Des Moines County while you enjoy you. Explore the many unique shops, restaurants, and attractions while you enjoy the friendly hometown service and have some fun. When spending your money in Des Moines County, you simultaneously create jobs for your friends and neighbors and promote community development. Shop Des Moines County all year long and support the members of the Chamber of Commerce, a division of the Greater Burlington Partnership, making connections, building community.
There are many reasons to join the Y. Building endurance, losing weight, and strengthening your heart. When you join the Y, you are committing to more than simply becoming healthier. You're supporting the values and programs that strengthen your community. At the Y, children learn what they can achieve, families spend quality time together, and we build relationships that deepen our sense of belonging. Check out all we have to offer online at burlingtony.org. The Y is more than just a gym, it's where you belong.
Just had a call dealing with, okay, so what is the deal about the weather? Well, okay, look, in reality, and Dean said it, you know, we do have, it. If you do watch a weather forecast on a national news, if you see it in one of the national news channels, and there's weather talking about, it's always put in the worst, the most obviously scariest possible terms. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. You watch like the Weather Channel where it's just nothing but that.
Well, that's because that wants you to keep watching. We'll tell you how bad it is.
And right after this.
Yes. And now we've got a blizzard going on in Colorado. Let's go right now where there's a hurricane coming in. Let's go, Stephanie Abrams, 70, hold on to that pole so you don't get blown into the water.
Yeah. And then every 8 minutes or so, they shove some products down your throat.
Yeah. It's a...
Not even that. Every like 4 minutes.
Oh, and have you been... I don't know if you guys have the Weather Channel app on your phones or not.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, if you did have the Weather Channel app on your phones, you would see that they try to upsell you to their premium weather plan.
Every app does that these days.
Yeah. I know it. Premium. Get your premium Weather Channel app. Yeah.
If it really made the weather better, I would buy it. I feel like I'm just wasting my money.
You know, are we solving? Yeah, this has been an interesting day because the fact that we're talking about is all of the unsolvable issues so far. They're maybe not unsolvable. They are solvable, but they're issues that nobody wants to touch.
Nobody has any motivation to
because
change.
It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of money, a lot of effort, and a lot of people changing the way that they do things day to day. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable for a while to change all these things.
Right.
But it's going to be for the best. And sometimes in life, you got to, you know, grin and bear it.
I was telling Colin, I was at the Y, and three or four of us were just talking about the situation. We're talking about things almost like we're doing right here. And I said, why do we have the kind of situation where our leadership is so basically shallow? And I said, well, because most of the decisions are made are in short-term self-interest. And that was it. We don't look down the road. We look at what is quick, what is short term, what will get us the most for right this minute. And that seems to be, and that's how we ended up, we're talking about how we ended up getting into Afghanistan and Iraq at the same time. Gee, a two-front war in two tribal countries that have never been successfully conquered.
Well, and we also have to realize all these people that we're electing are all billionaires and millionaires. They don't know what it's like to have to worry about paying a medical bill, to have friends that go into the military and go get killed, because most of our military are lower and middle class young men.
They are raising salaries. They're raising military salaries. That's a good
thing.
As they should. But, you know, I think maybe that's the point. How much does it cost to run to be president of the United States anymore?
That's going up and up and up.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, how many billionaires do we have just right now in the field? We got Michael Bloomberg from New York, okay, a multi-billionaire.
Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang, another billionaire.
Would you count Donald Trump in that as well?
Okay. You've got Tom Steyer. He's a many, many billions of dollars. And let's see, is everybody else?
Everyone else is a millionaire.
Well, of course.
That's up there, too. So.
Okay. A paltry millionaire, yeah.
But, I mean, when was the last time we saw a president that wasn't worth a bunch of money, that wasn't a lawyer? You know, nearly all of our presidents for a long time were all lawyers.
I don't think Buttigieg is a little bit more down to earth, isn't he?
He came from a low income background, but I don't know what his current financial situation is.
But anyway, the fact is, it doesn't seem, we've distorted the way. Whatever happened to the old campaign finance laws, where you could run, the poor guy could run for president. Remember that? federal funding for elections. All right, let's go to the phones. We're down to the last few minutes. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
Hi, my name is Leif. I was a concerned citizen of Michael Bloomberg's interview the other night.
Yes.
Did you happen to see it?
You're talking about his commercial at the end that said he was not invited to be. He said he would have loved to, but was not invited to be on the stage.
Sure. Yeah. I sure hope the American public is a lot smarter than him as far as they probably beat him up. He seems like a very rich politician to me. Let's put it that way.
You know, Michael Bloomberg, he's got a fair reputation in New York, but as I said, I think he's... Yeah,
he didn't do a good job of representing it the other night when he was talking about the $3.5-4 million that the Fed ought to pick up because, quite frankly, I don't agree with him. But
all right,
anyway, that's all I got.
Hey, appreciate it. All right, thanks. You got it off your chest. All right, there you go. Okay. Well, all right. You know what? Do you like him? You don't like him. That's the way it is.
I am not a fan of Bloomberg.
I don't buy him either.
I'm not particular. You know, the thing is, it's very hard for me to be a fan of any of the candidates who are running. And that's not saying that I love Donald Trump, because I find that Donald Trump is I find him abrasive and absolutely, egomaniacal and abusive. And I think do I like him? Well, you know what? It's the thing is, I don't know if like is what you really do you need to like the president? I don't know.
No,
you need to have the system work, right?
Well, I think that's the biggest thing that people have against Donald Trump is that he doesn't act professionally. Any of us who have worked a job where we have a boss that we don't like,
diplomatic. Yes. He's not diplomatic.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's we all understand that sometimes you're going to have a boss that's kind of a jerk, but if they get the job done, they're the best boss to have. It's sometimes successful people are mean people, and that's just how our system works. And you got to be able to deal with a jerk every once in a while.
To be a big business person, you need to be a little bit ruthless.
And is he running Has he been running continuously for his reelection
the day after the inauguration? He announced he's starting his campaign.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's a perpetual campaign, absolutely perpetual, kind of like Putin's.
Yeah.
All right.